Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's been a minute since I've heard this.
Good. Everybody.
Ah, it feels good.
Welcome back, buddy.
It's a little weird. I've been back for a little while.
Just the way our schedule works, my first Extra Point show is almost a week after I got back.
Well, we're glad to have you back here on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here, and that good morning. You know what? I needed that, Zach.
Well,
it's been 2 weeks with you not on this show to hit that.
And we got some news. We got some news.
Boy, did we ever.
I thought for a little while there it was going to be, all right, we had a really cool Bills game. Like, they come back against Patriots, awesome. Like, that'll carry us into, taking on a kind of a useless Cleveland team. Let's go. And the Sabres yesterday at about, 1:58, 2 o'clock?
Yeah, close to
announced the firing of Kevin Adams. And now this morning we'll hear from the 10th general manager in the Sabres history, not interim. But officially, the main man, Jarmo Kekäläinen, he's going to speak at 10:30. We'll, of course, carry that live when they show up. Hopefully, it's about 10:30, but we'll play it by ear if we have to.
We may have a little bit of a messy show here for you today, but that's exactly what happens sometimes here. And we'll still get it done for you. That's what we do here.
But so on that, so Kekäläinen is in, Adams is out. Adams makes it about halfway through his fifth season, and just right out for me, and Derek will, of course, get to your thoughts as well. But for me, it took too long, I think, realistically. I said it over the weekend when there was rumors going around. From the human element, I don't really necessarily, love that the guy's probably never going to work in hockey in a major way ever again. That probably won't happen. He was a disaster as a GM for these 5.5 years. I know Paul Hamilton has called this 5 years effectively a straight line. They never got better. I call it a waste of time. I think for a lot of people, it was a complete waste of time. High school took less time than this. And now Kekäläinen is in a bit of a bind here. It is going to be a little bit of a grind for him to get going. They've got the Alex Tuch situation to sort out, whether you sign him, whether you trade him, what have you. You've got the goaltender situation. They've still got three goaltenders. We'll see what goes on there. And, of course, they're second to last in the East, which is always a fun time for Sabres fans. But with all that being said, this needed to be done, and I'm glad it was done. There's probably more moves. I couldn't agree more. I think we'll hear something today at 10:30. If we don't, we don't. If we do, we do. But this needed to be done because where the Sabres are at this point, I mean, I've talked about it endlessly. The expectations are not the expectations of the rest of the league. We as Sabres fans are not looking for a Stanley Cup anymore. We are just looking for a playoff appearance. Half of us don't even care if the playoff appearance means getting swept in 4 games.
Right.
I mean that's kind of where we're at this point with the Sabres, and it's demoralizing. I love going to games. I have a press pass this year. I've been able to go to many more than I have in years past, and even still, sitting up there, it is at times as demoralizing as it can be. There's also been great moments this season. It does feel like a fan base that is gearing up and ready to go when it can get going. However, there is a rot within the organization that does need to be cured. It needs to be fixed. There needs to be some sort of remedy to this whole situation. And I do point to ownership with Terry Pegula. I hope this is a move that points to the reports that we've constantly gotten, that he's a very hands-on owner with the Sabres, that he very much is involved on the day-to-day basis. I hope this means that may not be true anymore. I think the best thing for an owner is to kind of just hang out, sign the checks, get the right people involved, and fire the people when they are not the right people anymore, right?
And enjoy your product.
And enjoy the product and reap the benefits of being an owner of a sports franchise. Not wanting to be the hero, not wanting to be effectively the main character of building a dynasty. I think that's what's gotten Jerry Jones in trouble in Dallas. And Dan Snyder got in trouble with that with Washington. I think Terry Pegula is getting in trouble with the Sabres with this. I hope this points to a situation now where he is going to be a little more hands-off, that maybe the people inside his inner circle are telling him, hey, just hire Yarmo, maybe get a president of hockey operations, get guys with experience and credibility, and it'll turn around fast. Because of the drought this has been put into, you make the playoffs for 2-3 straight years and don't even win a round, and I think most people will be pretty happy about it. We're still getting calls about that with the Bills of, you know, let's not forget the drought, and the drought is many years ago now. So for the Sabres, what would that be? Probably about the same. You'll have some fans who get frustrated a year into, you know, getting swept in the playoffs, but at least the drought's over. But many will be okay with it, and you can start moving forward. You can start being fresh. But where the Sabres are now, it is going to be a tough build. I do think Kekalainen is the right man for the job. We'll see if there's any other moves. But at least in terms of yesterday, before we hear anything else from the Sabres, at least in terms of yesterday, firing Kevin Adams was absolutely the right move. I just wish it maybe would have happened sooner.
And I think that the timeline really speaks to the why didn't this happen sooner. When Kekalainen was hired, a lot of people really saw that as, okay, this is the replacement. This is the new general manager that's coming in here. And if that's the case, why didn't you just make that the hire outright for the general manager? Because now Adams is, for several months here, looking over his shoulder. And Kekalainen did really seem like initially he was here to be the advisor. He's going to help out as best he can. He at first starts out staying in Columbus while he's trying to, you know, figure out housing and everything like that. You know, like, is he going to sell the house in Columbus, or is he going to have to get a new property here in Buffalo? Like, the things that you figure out logistically. But Adams is still looking at a guy like that, and you could say all the right things to the media. You could say all the right things that you need to. That's your potential replacement that just got hired to work with you. That's not an easy thing to deal with.
No, and you wonder how many people he's working on a day-to-day are sitting there going like, why isn't Yarmo the guy I'm talking to? Like, what are we doing here?
In the halls, are people sneezing going, dead man walking? I don't know. Like that's not an easy dynamic. And it kind of spells into the errors of ownership over the tenure that Pegula has had the team. Because if you're going to do this move, why didn't you just make him the GM in the first place? I guess that's a question if Pegula talks with Kekalainen here today. We'll find out. That should be a question. If this was the move all along, why didn't you make it? And I think that that's really where I'm sticking at here is if you already had to get an advisor for your general manager, you don't have a general manager. Or you at least are publicly acknowledging he's not a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much where you're at. I don't necessarily wonder like if Adams was dealing with a pressure cooker to enter the season. He was. Again, your potential replacement was hired. But it should have just been then and there. Adams should not have had the entirety of this offseason. If you were going to make this move, just make it. Don't do a half measure. Just commit to it. And I think that's really where the last vestige of me holding back on hope is coming from. There's still a little bit of an influence on ownership that is going to make me go, I need to see it.
Absolutely.
I need to see the change. I need you to be able to back off and enjoy the product instead of trying to be the solution for the product. I do think that Adams said a lot of things that put the fan base pointed at him, and at some point those words do catch up to you. And that's ultimately how I'm going to say it about that. I'm not going to talk on Adams as a person. I don't know him as a person. But what I do know is that his perception is terrible. And that's, I don't want to say necessarily that that's all your fault, get good. But at the same time, there's a reason that it's a very liked move, I guess. Is not just because of the performance, but also because the palm trees quote, that's going to stay with fans forever. Mm-hmm. It is. And I know what he was doing in that moment, and I actually liked that it's low-key calling out the Florida teams for not having taxation. Right. They've got a built-in kind
and
of cheat
Tampa and Florida have dominated the Eastern Conference for the last 6 years. I know what you're doing, but you said it during the middle of a 13-game losing streak. You would continue losing games after this, actually. And again, it's a move that it has to happen. Your finishes were 31st, 24th, 20th. That one was real fun. 22nd, 26th, and 24th currently. You can't do that. And a lot of the times, in every one of these years, almost every time actually, no, actually every time, you get off to poor starts.
Oh, yeah.
The teams under Adams do not get off to a good start, at least with Phil Housley, when Bottrell was the GM. At least with Phil Housley, they were first place by December 1st. As a matter of fact, last year would also be the closest to this parallel. But the Sabres tailspin so hard January afterwards that they missed the playoffs entirely. And at the least with Housley, in that season, where they are first place at the start of December, they don't tailspin by the time that Christmas is around that we all think that they're out of the playoffs. That's what happens last year. You are third place in the Atlantic, threatening to take over for Toronto for second place in the division. And it tailspins so hard that you are done by Christmas and you are playing out the string. For a locker room to deal with the fact that you know you're playing 4 months of meaningless hockey, that is a tense situation that nobody should really have to deal with. Oh, they get paid millions of dollars. The game's still played by human beings. Would you like to go to work if you're fairly compensated, even if you're fairly compensated or more than fairly compensated, knowing that the workplace sucks?
I mean, look at Joe Burrow's comments over the last 2 weeks. Just going to the NFL, but I mean,
I'm just trying to normalize this to like a me and, like an everyday, like a me and you in situation. Like, even if you're paid well,
if knowing that if work management sucks and knowing and that the workplace is terrible, it going to work becomes very quickly
and it's
a bad job.
And no matter how well you do at your job, nothing matters for 4 months. And some of your favorite coworkers might be jettisoned out of here. Like, that's what happened. That's what they dealt with last year. And you saw a general manager not even lift a finger, not even make an AHL call-up. And I agree wholeheartedly when Paul says this. It should have happened then. I'm sorry, but you had a third losing streak of 8 games or more under this tenure. The second time, you lost 13 games or more with this general manager. Remember, he did it in 2020.
Yep.
Where they lost 18 in a row. To say this had to happen is the understatement of the year. You know the saying, like, the best time to plant a tree is 4 months ago, the second best time is now? No, the second best time is also still 4 months ago.
Yep.
And you didn't do it. And they got off to a poor start again. I am interested in one thing here. When it comes to Kekalainen, how it's going to work from here. What are you doing with Alex Tuck? That was priority number one for Kevin Adams in this offseason. It hasn't gotten done. And I've read enough tea leaves to know, just by the outside perspective, if he hasn't signed by now, is he going to? Because it's the same thing that happened with Casey Mittelstadt. Everybody got these extensions. Mittelstadt didn't. And I'm looking at it going, that's the odd man out. He's clearly being moved.
Yeah, like so when is he on?
When's he getting moved? There's an extensive history of players that are sent out from this organization. Obviously highlighted by Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart. The Dylan Cousins trade with Josh Norris, that one has yet to be, like, that story is yet to be told. JJ Paterka getting dealt, that's one of the clear, obvious wins of the Kevin Adams era. And that's the last trade that he makes that he goes out on. But there's not many of those where he goes out a winner on a trade. Maybe Norris, if he could stay healthy, could really make Ottawa look silly.
Well, yeah, because Norris, when he has played for the Sabres, so has been very good.
Like, but credit to where it's due. You recognize Norris as a good talent.
Yeah, you mentioned the losing streak. So that's ultimately going to be the biggest thing in the 5.5 years of Kevin Adams' tenure is the inaction, is ultimately just the sitting on their hands, not really doing anything. When they do make the odd move, at times it's worked. You didn't even mention they've traded Matthew Savoy. Ryan McLeod has been a very good player for the Sabres, and Savoy can't really even hit an NHL lineup. And so, like, that move has been very good. Josh Doan has been a very savvy pickup for them, involved in the J.J. Paterka trade. Norris, when healthy, has been good. The contract's a little bit of an albatross because of his health issues. But when he's on the ice, he has worked for them. But it has been just the inaction when they're in these losing streaks, the inability to help a team get out of them. And, you know, you bring up the Alex Tuch situation, and that's why I do look at, why am I talking about a half a year? When Jarmo Kekäläinen is hired in May, when he probably should have just been given the job after another failed season, you finally, for just the third time in team history, hired a GM with prior general managing experience. He should have been brought in, and we probably aren't even talking about this Alex Tuch situation. If we're being completely honest, he's either been traded or signed his contract, and we're moving on. But to be fair to Tuch and his representatives, what shows you in the current Sabres over the last 6 to 8 months has shown you should totally sign a long-term deal here. There is stability here. Don't worry. You should totally do that. There hasn't been any.
There hasn't.
Maybe Tuch and his representatives have been waiting for just any kind of sign of they're growing up. I can actually put my future, my career into their hands. Maybe that's what he's been waiting for. I wouldn't fault him for it even a little bit. Has he played up and down this year? 100%. He does look like a guy who is protecting his interests, maybe a bit too much at times.
Maybe a bit too much.
But I'm not going to fault him for it when ultimately, yeah, you get one shot at this.
You get one
realistically.
You get one shot at unrestricted free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big deal, especially within hockey players, with the contracts that sometimes get doled out and those sorts of things. The biggest thing here also for me is this. Before Kevin Adams is dismissed, or at the time of his dismissal, I should even say, there are only 9 general managers with a longer tenure in a league where teams aren't afraid to pull the trigger on something. Hell, Pegula himself has been quick on the trigger happy sometimes mm-hmm. in the past. And I think it was an overcorrection here. But again, the biggest thing of Adams has been his inactivity. Whether it's doing nothing, not even a call-up during the 13-game losing streak, or, more importantly, how many times have you and I said this, Zach, the summer of 2023. You missed the playoffs by 1 point, and your entire offseason is Eric Johnson, who is an unmitigated disaster, and Connor Clifton, who plays on the same pairing as the unmitigated disaster and looks bad himself. That's it. The Montreal Canadiens have a similar season last year. They trade for Noah Dobson.
They actually made moves.
I get it. There's enough players that don't want to play here, and I understand that part. However, Winnipeg is like the coldest place in North America. They don't have palm trees. That's where you make excuses, and excuses are for people that will not succeed.
Well,
and ultimately
because,
what happens.
And because also it wasn't the perception in 23, that summer. The perception was the Sabres were a young, fun team that was coming up. Nothing could stop them.
All that could stop them
was themselves. Everyone wanted a piece of the Sabres as this up-and-coming, high-flying team. And what they did, I mean, you forgot also, they did re-sign Kyle Okposo. Cannot forget that.
Cool!
So, but that's my thing is, when you did have the moment where not everyone was sitting there going, why would I go there? Your action was to do essentially nothing. Last point on this, because we do have to hit our first time out and get ready for Jarmo Kekäläinen and meeting with the media in just about 5 or so minutes. It should be noted, his father did pass away reportedly over the weekend, Kekäläinen's. Mm-hmm. And that is why, if you did see, he has been in Finland for the last few days. I know there were some people I saw this morning in the chat with our morning show that thought that was a little odd. No, he's speaking the following day after being named. They did have to go through some of that stuff, you know, him personally going back to Finland for the funeral over the weekend. That does not change what we were saying earlier, where why wasn't he hired in May? And that's more my thing. Is it's not that why didn't this happen a week ago? No. Why didn't this happen over the offseason? Why was Adams given another offseason to effectively make more problems for now Kekalainen to come in and try to fix it, namely with Alex Tuch and the Sabres being second to last in the East?
And we'll take a timeout, come back. New Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekalainen on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Just a few more minutes here until new Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekalainen expected to meet with the media. The team has already tweeted it out, so it's going to be live on their broadcast. It's usually like the two-minute warning of they're going to be stepping up here pretty soon.
Mere moments away.
So with that, probably only got a few more moments here before he speaks with the media. Is there anything that you'll hear today, Derek, that is going to maybe either good or bad change your perception on this?
Let me preface this. There's one chair.
Yes, there is one
chair. There's one chair, so I'm imagining that Terry Pegula is not speaking with the media along with Kekalainen today. You'd have two chairs if that was the case. So expect to hear from only the new Sabres GM today. And honestly, I'm kind of okay with that. Like, I know
Pegula, I prefer it.
I know fans want to hear from Terry. Public speakers, yeah. And like, it's not something that everyone can do well. I'm okay with it. It's okay. We don't have to hear from the owner every time they make a move, because I typically have a worse feeling sometimes when that happens.
Yeah, I have no desire, and it's nothing against Pegula, but I think when owners speak, I think it can only be bad. Honestly, I believe that with any owner. Anytime they speak, I think it can only be bad.
Right. So, you know what? We can deal with that, but the first thing I want to hear about is, hey, Jarmo, do you have anything that you're willing to let out about the coaching situation?
Mm-hmm.
Are there moves that might be made?
I think I saw Frank Saravelli report yesterday that there's rumblings about that.
Jeremy also mentioning of something where, you know, the Sabres might not be done here.
Mm-hmm.
So if Kekalainen is going to give us any insight on that, I doubt it. I would imagine what is going to be his initial reaction to Alex Tuch questions is going to be one. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm convinced I'm going to get a lot of GM speak from a guy who has done it before.
Now we go to the now 10th general manager in Buffalo Sabres history, Jarmo Kekalainen.
Welcome. Is this working? Want to introduce Jarmo as the Sabres.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
XGM, starting in the fall of 24, the Sabres organization, including some outside consultants and our management, performed an analysis to bring in a senior advisor to assist our hockey organization. Jarmo was the choice that we brought in as the senior advisor. Over the last 7 months, he has shown to me that he is capable of leading our organization into the future. He's made bold moves in the past, several complicated three-team trades, and he just has a confidence that I believe will help our organization in the future, and the knowledge. So, Jarmo, Welcome to Buffalo.
Good morning. I want to thank the Pegula family for having the trust in me. I'm honored and humbled to be the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. In this time that I've spent here, and I've spent the most of the fall in Buffalo already, I've seen the passion of the hockey fans in this city, and it's great. I love the game of hockey. That's the reason why I've been in hockey all my life, whether it was as a player or as a scout or as a manager. I've been part of the NHL teams for 30 years now, and I wouldn't change a day. It's been great, but to see the passion of the fans here is something that actually reminds me a little bit of my home country, Finland, because with the 5.5 million people that we have, hockey is by far the biggest sport, and there's a lot of passion for it. So thank you, Pegula family, for bringing me here as the new GM. I appreciate it. I also want to thank Kevin Adams for everything that he did for the Buffalo Sabres. He poured his heart and soul into this organization. I witnessed it every day here. And he brought in a lot of talent, a lot of skill into this team. And you could see that on the ice. So we can't thank him enough. He's a great hockey guy, but he's also a better person. And that's one of the reasons why I came here, because at this stage of my career, I really want to work with good people. And he's a great one. One of the real good guys that I've met through my years in the business. The one other thing that I wanted to say before I let you get to questions is that, you know, when I came here, one of the reasons was that I really believed in the skill and the talent on this team. But I define the talent a little bit differently, so that's going to be the focus on moving forward. I think character is the biggest part of talent. I think that the competitiveness, the relentless work ethic that you have, whether it's on the ice for practices or in the gym, that's the talent that we need to focus on. And there's been games this year where we looked like it was going to be easy, and we lost because we got outworked. That's unacceptable. And that's going to be something that we're going to focus on every day here, each and every day, because the talent, the skill alone is not going to get you the wins in this league. Every team's too good. So you got to work, you got to compete, you got to be relentless. And that's what I want the identity of the Buffalo Sabres to be. And that's where we want to be proud of that type of identity moving forward, because we do have the skill and we do have the talent. Focal point will be character, and please, if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Congratulations on being appointed to GM. So, in particular, how do you want to make this team and this organization competitive? What needs to be done? Do you have a 5-point plan or something similar?
I have a plan. Obviously, I'm just day one right now, so there's a lot of things that we need to look at, a lot of things we need to analyze, whether it's the staff. We got a lot of good people in place, a lot of experienced people in place. If we need to add something, we'll do so.
John Warrell with the AP. Condolences on your dad.
Thank you.
You spoke about character. For all the skill that this team has, as you talked about, how do you turn around a franchise and a team that hasn't known winning for such a long time with players who haven't known what it takes to get there?
Well, the one thing we talked about when I talked to the team is that it's not their fault, the 14 years that people keep talking about. We're going to focus on today. What can we do today to get better, whether it's on individual level or as a team? And we're going to focus on today. We don't even want to look too much into the future. We got a lot of hockey left this year. I think we can do special things with this team.
Just as a follow-up, how do you build character?
It's the standard set by the leaders on the team. They're not going to accept anything less. They're going to lead by example, show the standard every day, and then they can demand it from everybody else around them.
Been with Lindy Ruff now all season long. What is your thoughts on Lindy and the coaching staff moving forward?
Well, Lindy's resume speaks for itself. He's been a great coach in the league for a long time. I've really enjoyed my interaction with him day to day. He works his tail off every day. He's early. He's watching tape. He's analyzing. He's talking to the players. He's got a good line of communication with them, and he's looking for ways to get better. So, you know, I've really enjoyed my time so far with Lindy.
So does that mean there's no changes in the coaching staff?
We're going to evaluate everything moving forward, whether it's the scouting staff, management, coaches. Everybody is under evaluation at this point, but there are a lot of good people here that are great at their jobs.
What, at this point, can you say about the situation regarding Alex Tuch? It seems to have kind of ground to a halt here, and it's hanging over this club and this locker room, whether this team is going to extend him, move him. What can you do to help get that process going?
I'll take charge of that situation now. I'll talk to his representatives. It always takes two parties to agree on a number that both feel that it's reasonable, and not just for today, but moving forward, what you have to build with your team. Alex is a really good hockey player. We appreciate him. We like him. We want to get him signed. I think that's been clear the whole time. Now we just have to agree on a number that works for both sides.
Jarmo, what is the biggest challenge that you immediately face as general manager of the Sabres?
Oh, there's challenges every day in this job. My saying is always that there's never a dull day as a general manager of a team. When you think that you have a calm day, something's going to happen, and then that's going to change. But I want to get to know everybody even better than I do now. I think I have a really good head start because I've been here so much. And getting to know in a different role, I was able to have some talks with individuals, players, staff, so to get to know them. So I think I have a really good head start and on having a good understanding of what we need to do next to get to the next level. But I'm going to also take some time here to get all my thoughts together, gather more information, and think about a plan that we need to get into work right now.
You spoke to it a little bit, but just what makes this an attractive job for you, I guess, in your own words?
Well, I talked about the talent. I think that you always need the obvious talent that everybody sees on the ice, and that's there. We have goal scorers, we have size, we have playmakers, we have, I think, one of the best decors in the league as far as the talent goes. You know, there's a lot of great things. We've gotten good goaltending this year too. I don't think that there's any excuses in some of the games that we've lost where we've been outworked. Goalies have given us a chance to win every game. You can always improve on each and every area, but I think that there's a lot of really good building blocks here, and that's what makes me excited.
Well, you know, you've been here long enough to probably get a feel for the roster and the talent. How close do you think this team is to being a competitive, you know, playoff type team?
Yeah, I think we're close. I think it takes a little bit of growth from the young players. Experience is always good. I always say from the draft that it could take 5 to 8 years before those players can make an impact in the NHL, because, you know, you see now that it can be even a little bit more of a young player's game. But it's all individual. Every individual has to develop at their own rate and own pace. You can have the fast forward button even if you'd like to sometime. You need to just let them take their time to get comfortable, confident in this league, and they can then make an impact. But I think there are a lot of good pieces here. I think we're very close. I firmly believe we can make the playoffs this year. There's a lot of hockey left.
The goaltending situation, you have three of them. Lindy's talked about it a lot, that it's hard for the goaltenders, it's hard for the coaching staff. How do you feel about that, and are you going to try to alleviate that and get it down to two?
I think we've all talked about it pretty much every day, that it's not the ideal situation to have three for the workload they get in practice, for the rotation and the amount of games they get if there's three goalies. But we also picked up Ellis for a reason, because we felt that there was upside there to become a real good NHL goalie. And we had a little bit of an injury situation back then that we needed to protect ourselves depth-wise. So now we're probably to a point where we're going to have to start making decisions to get down to a two-goalie rotation. That's good for the two goalies that remain here. But we're going to look at the situation, and right now Ellis is hurt. So we got two goalies here and two goalies ready to win games.
Yeah, well, what is your... When it comes to your history with the Blue Jackets, you were known for being very aggressive, fearless in some ways. What did you learn from that experience, those times, and do you plan to maintain, you know, how you worked that approach?
One of my life's philosophies is that don't be afraid to make a mistake, and that's something that I always relate to the players too. We got to play free. We got to play without fear of failure. I apply that to myself in work too. Whatever it takes to make our team better, we're going to do. We're not going to be afraid of making a mistake. And from my time with the Blue Jackets, I can tell you one thing, that it's great to make the playoffs, but we're not just here to make the playoffs. We're here to try to build a championship team. You make the playoffs, you're happy for 8 to 14 days if you lose in the first round. If you win the first round like we did there once, then you're happy for 14 to 20 to 28 days, and then you're miserable. And I think that even if you get to the final but lose, that would be the most disappointing thing ever, for me, at least personally. Winning the Cup's the goal. I think every team in this league is here for the same goal, and that's the goal that we have with the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, you got to make the playoffs first to be able to even compete for that, but I can assure you that we made the playoffs 5 times in the 10 full seasons that I was there. The most miserable I was during the year was the game that eliminated us from the playoffs.
What is your philosophy on trades?
Well, trades are a little bit complicated these days with the cap and all that. I think that everybody wants to make their team better, wants to make their mix better. You got to find a partner that has the same or opposite needs, that the deal you're going to do is going to fit their plan for the future. But, you know, I'm always looking for a fair deal where both teams can benefit from it. But, you know, it's something that we do here every day. We're going to think about things that how can we make our team better? What can we do today to make our team better? That's the attitude I expect in the locker room from the individuals. That's the attitude I expect from the staff. We come to the office every day. We have our coffee and we start thinking about what can we do today to make our team better.
As a scout, as a manager, who were some of your mentors, people that you leaned on, I guess, as, you know, mentors?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to work with some great people. You know, I always said that Marshall Johnston in Ottawa was one of the mentors, especially in the player evaluation world. He was incredibly prepared, hardworking, and very smart hockey man. But I also work with Rick Dudley, Randy Sexton, who's here for a little bit, Larry Plow in St. Louis, Doug Armstrong. So I've had a chance to work with some real smart hockey people. And the one thing that I've always kind of tried to do is study the people that I work with. Whatever I can take from somebody that he does really well, or maybe even some of the mistakes that I think they make, I try to learn from that. And the day that I lose that attitude is the day that I'm going to retire, and that's not going to be anytime soon, but I'm trying to learn something every day to be better at the job that I'm doing.
Well, attracting and sometimes retaining talent has been an issue for the Sabres over the years. What did you learn from your experience in Columbus, you know, working in a smaller market, about, you know, attracting guys to play in a place like that and keeping guys?
Yeah, winning hockey games is the most important ingredient there. Everybody wants to play for a winner. You got to win hockey games, and then in the background, we can be very detail oriented in making sure that we do everything that we can. Terry and I had a lot of conversations about this over the weekend. He's going to give us every resource so that we can eliminate all the excuses out there, to make it such a great place for the players that they want to come here. But winning is the first ingredient that you have to have. So that's one thing we're going to need to focus on. But Terry's given me full autonomy to run the hockey department. We can spend to the cap. We have every resource available for us that we need to make this team better, make it more attractive for the guys to stay or attract free agents. So that's all I can ask for as a general manager.
Moa, certainly it's an area where you know, Terry would be involved in the decision as well. But in your past, you've worked in a structure with the president of hockey operations. Would you like to see another hockey person come in here? And how is this going to work in terms of you reporting to Terry? Or do you expect to talk to him about getting another, you know, hockey name in here?
As I said, we're going to evaluate the staff and see what kind of structure works for us. I like the way it is set up now. I'll work with Pete Guelli he's in charge of the business side. I'm in charge of the hockey side. I think we have some experienced people on the staff. If we need more experience, we're going to bring it in. Terry, obviously, he owns the team, so he can ask me questions, but he's given me 100% assurance that I'll run the hockey team, I'll hockey department, I'll make the decisions. But he owns the team, so you know, if he wants to ask questions, I will be answering the questions and do my best to keep him always up to date on what's going on.
Were you involved in the discussions about Quinn Hughes, or was that a Kevin thing, or how did that work?
I this is my first day on the job. I just arrived back from Finland, attending to my father, and this was quite a roller coaster of emotions for me this weekend. So I'm just starting today.
So you weren't even privy to those conversations?
No.
Spoke earlier about your message to the team as it relates to the 14-year playoff drought and it not necessarily being their fault. What's your message to the fans who have experienced that drought and the fact that they view your appointment as GM maybe as hope that that drought might eventually come to an end?
Yeah. I mean, they have every right to be frustrated, but we're going to move forward. As I said, look at today. What can we do today to get better, to get the team there in the future? And I understand it. You got to make the playoffs to get the chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. And that speaks for the passion of the fans in Buffalo. And we all appreciate it. So we're going to work our tails off to get the team to a level where we're going to have that. We've earned the spot in the playoffs and have that ability to compete for the ultimate price.
Jarmo, you've mentioned several times about needing to evaluate things. What is your timeline on evaluating things? Is this something that could happen in the foreseeable future with your evaluations, or would this be something you would wait until the end of the season?
As I said, I have a pretty good head start with being here for 7 months and being very closely with the team for the basically the whole fall. So I have some things in mind that might happen sooner rather than later, and then there's going to be some things that we need to evaluate a little bit longer, and we're going to take all the time we need to make those decisions.
Do you plan to address the players tomorrow or in the coming days?
I already did, yeah.
When did you talk to them? Today?
Yeah, I talked to them today. Some of the same things that I just talked to you about, character being an important part of the talent evaluation. I always want to, if I have something to say in the media about the players or the team, I want to make sure that I talk to the players and the team first. So I had a meeting with the leadership group and the whole hockey department, a team that is around the players and the players too.
Actually, I've talked to some folks around the NHL and pretty much got the same thing. They said you're a no-nonsense guy, and players, coaches, and your staff will know exactly where you stand. Is that accurate? Is that the way you do your business?
Yeah. What you're going to hear that I said, you'll hear in front of you, not behind you. That's one of the big principles that I believe in life. If I don't have the guts to say it to your face, then don't say it at all.
When you address the leadership group, and how do you go about convincing them that this is change? Because some of those guys have gone through a lot of changes and nothing has really changed when it comes to the standings. How do you go about convincing them that this is the path forward?
Well, I think the trust always needs to be earned. So I'm going to start working with that and working with the players every day to earn their trust. And that's going to come with consistency of the message. So we're going to work on it every day. Start it today.
I know you mentioned you view talent a little bit differently, maybe, than, you know, just skill. Who do you view as kind of the core of this team going forward?
Oh, there's a lot of core players. I'm not going to start naming them here. They know who they are. Those are the guys that I met first before I met with the whole team. They're leaders for a reason. They've earned their, whether it's a letter or just the position in that leadership group, they're in there for a reason. But they're the important guys that really have to show the example and set the standard every day for the rest of the guys.
Yarmo, you talked about, you know, not just wanting to make the playoffs, but given the situation this franchise is in, the longest playoff drought in the history of the league, how much do you simply just have to get in the playoffs first and have any result before this franchise can ever move forward and not be stuck in this albatross?
Yeah. Well, I told the players to forget about the 14-year thing that kind of hanging out like a cloud, black cloud, around the team. And I'm going to do the same thing. We're not going to sacrifice the ultimate goal for the sake of making the playoffs and then not having any sustainability for our goal and as a team to take the next step and having the opportunity and chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. So no, we're not going to do that. And so we're gonna have a plan, and the plan is going to be to win the Stanley Cup, and we're not going to take any shortcuts to try to just make the playoffs to end the drought. And you've seen around the league too, there were teams that made the playoffs, I don't know how many years in a row. I'm not going to start naming them. You know who I'm talking about. And then it's going to take a long time when you realize, and I realized in my previous job, that the core that we had left after we lost a few players was we weren't going to have a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. Then you have to go through a rebuild. And it takes a long time. It takes a lot longer than anybody wants it to take. And, you know, we're way past that now. We have some really good core pieces here. We're close. Now we just have to take the next step.
And just along those lines, you're 6 points out, which isn't a lot, but you're behind a whole bunch of teams here. And you talk about making the playoffs this year. How do you want to see this team build the consistency to get a winning streak that gets you back in the race? We've seen the last three games, some of the things that have needed to happen, but you need a 7, 8, 9 game winning streak probably to get back into this thing. How do you build consistency as a club? Because we just haven't seen it most of the time.
Yeah, you named it. The consistency is the most important word there. And for consistency, you need to have the work ethic, the relentless competitiveness on the ice every game. As I said early in this press conference, that losing to teams that have less talent, that outwork you, that's unacceptable. We just can't have that. And that's going to be something that we're going to work on every day to get the most out of our talent and skill that we have. We need to build on the character and the consistency and the competitiveness and be relentless that way. And there's a lot of hockey left. I don't think that you're necessarily going to need an 8-9 game winning streak, but you're going to need the consistency, as you mentioned.
That is Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen in his first remarks with the Buffalo media. We'll take a quick time out here. We got to pay the bills, but we'll come back here. We'll break that all down. We'll also hear from Paul Hamilton in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Edge Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. We just heard from the now 10th GM in Sabres history, Jarmo Kekäläinen. And we'll hear from Paul Hamilton here in just a few minutes. But before we give our quick thoughts on this, I want to let you know the Tailgate Trivia is back. It's presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. It is courtesy of TSC Buffalo. With that, though, he did talk for a good little while. Wasn't anything crazy. Wasn't like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour, but about a half hour.
We have some breaks to catch up on.
Yeah.
So there's your programming note right there. I just wanted to say a couple of things here that I found interesting. More or less, Kekäläinen did not give an affirmative or a denial on any changes being made to the staff, and did say when there was a follow-up to that question that he has some things in mind that will happen sooner rather than later in terms of the evaluation of the staff and any potential changes that may happen. He did not commit to the coaching staff, and he didn't necessarily deny that thing, like anything was going to happen either. He just really left that there. So non-committal to the staff, saying that there's evaluation on things that he wants to see, and if there's changes to be made, some can happen sooner than later. He also met
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Mentioned that the three goalie rotation, he'll find a way to make that stop when Colton Ellis is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I still also really loved the most is, and I'm sure everyone did, full autonomy on all hockey operations.
Yeah.
That, and given the assurance that they will spend the cap if they have to make this team better.
For me, I mean, that's the big one. That's kind of what I was looking for, is any sort of confirmation with that. And I will say this, though, for a lot of fans, is it's up to you if you believe that. I'm not going to fight you if you don't. I think there's been plenty of instances in the past to prove that that maybe is not the case. But it should be noted that Kekalainen said it multiple times in multiple different ways to say, I've been given every assurance I'm the head of the hockey department.
And this also gives the opportunity for, all right, so you've laid the groundwork. There's no excuses.
Right, like unless like another story comes out that like, nope, that was all a lie. Like, you know, there's too many cooks in the kitchen, right? You know, the fingers are. He has kind of set it up to where this is my baby. I mean, even when he was talking about Pegula, he mentioned asking questions, not dictating, you know, policy or what we're going to do or anything. Just asking questions. He is the owner of the team, and that is completely and utterly fair. There's no denying that to anybody. But I did like that in multiple ways. He wanted to say, I am in charge of the hockey department. This is mine. I'm the general manager, and the owner's the owner. I just, now it's you're going to have to see it, and it should also be said, and it's completely unsurprising. He did acknowledge that they want to get Tuck signed to a number that works for both, and that also he doesn't think the season is over, right? There's a lot of hockey, I think, that's fair to say as well. Be surprising if he didn't say it.
He said they could make the playoffs this year, and honestly, the Atlantic Division is keeping everyone around.
It's bad enough that you can maybe you can maybe believe that.
I could actually believe it with how bad the division is. We'll take a timeout. We've got some breaks to catch up on here, and we'll get to Paul Hamilton as soon as we can after said breaks here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.